Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 275 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with... Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good, David. How are you?
I'm good. It's been an interesting week, but... I wasn't sure exactly how much news we'd had this week because, you know, not like there's anything else going on in America at the moment. We've got a reasonable amount of stories come out, so we've got stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, what have you been doing this week?
Two different things I've been doing recently. I watched the double episode of Travels with My Father, the Jack Whitehall series. This is the fourth season. They seem to get shorter, those seasons. Yeah. But what they did this time, because I think they had three episodes last time and they had two episodes this time, but both of the episodes are an hour. So if you take the old 30-minute format that they had, it's sort of like four episodes worth, but it's still very, very good nonetheless. Try and guess how long it took me to laugh for the first time on this season. How many minutes?
Was it something in like the first sort of 30 seconds or something?
The first minute, yeah. There's a joke that Jack does. I'm not going to spoil what it is because it will be a nice sort of surprise. There's a joke he makes towards his dad. His dad isn't very amused by it, which is, you know, always a good back and forth between the two of them. That's also including the 3-second splash thing of the Netflix logo in that, so even less than a minute. But yeah, got off laughing almost straight away, was laughing just a whole bunch throughout the two episodes. They've just got so much good chemistry between the two of them. His dad, who is called Michael Whitehall, and Jack himself, of course. I do feel like if you do look back at what his dad was like in the first season, Jack has definitely got his dad to open up to more things, because there's certain things, again, of what I won't sort of ruin in this new season, there's certain things that he gets his dad to do in this fourth season that I don't think he necessarily would have gotten him to do in the first one.
Right.
And I remember like when they did the Christmas episode, and it was called Christmas with My Father, or if you search for Jack Whitehall on Netflix, you'll probably find all of it. Plus he's done some comedy stand-up. But yeah, I definitely feel like he's changed his dad, and I feel like his dad's changed him as well. The mother is in this season a little bit more as well, and she doesn't feel like she's sort of an awkward third wheel. She actually fits quite well in with what's going on. There's this particular part of one of the episodes with the speed dating, and both of the parents are there as well, and that was just that was brilliant. And very much sort of, because I think Jack's in his late 20s, early 30s. He must only be slightly older than me. It's sort of like got his parents there with him on this date. They're sort of hidden a little bit, and they sort of speak to him in between the speed dating and that, but that was brilliant. But even Jack Whitehall by himself I really like, and even Michael by himself I really like as well. But when they come together and they just bounce off each other, it's just brilliant. I hope that we continue to get some of these series, because there is a point in the, I think in the second episode, where he does point out that his dad is I think it's 79 his dad is, whether he's 80 now or whatever. So it'd be good if they could keep that going for as long as they could, because they've just got some brilliant chemistry. And the good thing is, it doesn't always have to be one of the travels shows, because I remember when they did the stage thing for the Christmas episode, It doesn't have to always be something travel related. You could just put the two of them on a stage, have them talk about something, maybe some Q&A, and you'd probably still get the same sort of comedic results as well. But I thought that was brilliant. So that's the fourth season of that. That's all on Netflix. Yeah. If you just search for Jack Whitehall, you should be able to find that.
Jack is 32, by the way. His father is 80 years old. So yeah, I mean, there is only so much longer they could probably do that for. But I've seen a few episodes of that. It's one of those shows that I keep on meaning to go back and watch all the way through, because I do love Jack Whitehall, and the relationship with his father is hilariously funny. It's one of those things that maybe over Christmas this year I'll actually sit and binge my way through them. So
yeah, that would be a good time. But I've liked almost everything that Jack Whitehall's done. You've got Bad Education, which was great. I haven't seen a whole lot of League of Their Own, which you'd have thought I'd watch more of that, but he's on that sometimes as well. That's been pretty good. The Expanse season 4, I remember when we talked maybe two or three of my appearances ago when Expanse got a date for season 5.
Yeah.
I remember, and the trailer came out, and I said I was about halfway through season 3. Went and just sort of plowed my way through the series. I still think it would be a lot better for, of course, that to be weekly, which it's going to be. Mm-hmm. When it comes back, at least apart from the first three episodes. But you can sort of tell the difference when you look at the production value of season 4, and then you look at seasons 1 to 3, which were made by Sci-Fi. I'm not taking anything away from what they did in seasons 1 to 3, because they were still great, but you can just see the production value has been upped significantly.
Yeah.
in the fourth season. Brilliant show, really love the exploration and all the sci-fi things that are going on. To me, it's more about the characters and everything. I really, really like Amos. He's probably one of my favorites. You got James in there as well. I can't remember exactly how I described him to you, but I remember I said that Amos is sort of like a similar to Daryl in certain ways.
Yes.
As well. He's sort of like that, what shows Daryl. But really liked where they went with the fourth season. Pretty much from episodes 1 to episode 10, always had something interesting going on, and very much looking forward to that when it returns. Is it December something?
Yeah, 16th of December. It's back for its fifth season. I'm very much looking forward to that. I love the previous seasons. I am quite glad that that's going out weekly, because it is so easy to binge your way through that, and it will stop me from doing that. And some things they are still releasing as box sets, some things they are putting out weekly as sort of bigger event things. And you know, it's the same with The Boys. I have a better memory of shows if they go out weekly rather than them dumping them all as a box set. Like, it's kind of difficult for me now to remember exactly what happened in the last season. So I'll end up going back and watching a recap video beforehand just because I binged through it in about 2 days. So, I really love that series. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I just think that weekly TV makes things more digestible. And makes you think about that episode, not necessarily every day, but more often for the week. And then it just kind of, you repeat that cycle every week when you get a new episode. Same thing for Mandalorian. It makes I can't imagine The Mandalorian being not worse, but as easily digestible and stuff if it all came out at once. So some shows just sort of suit that a lot better, I think. So I hope that model sort of continues. I hope Netflix does that eventually as well, like does some weekly stuff as well. Speaking of Netflix, watch a show called Working Mums. And no, it's not like one of them Real Housewives rubbish shows.
It does sound like that. Yeah, it does.
It does a bit. And I remember when I did a little podcast on it was it last week? I think that was last week. As I was going through and describing the characters, I was like, this really sounds like one of them Real Housewives shows. But it's not anything like any of that. It's a scripted drama on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix in the US as well. I'm not 100% sure. Just really, really brilliant. Absolutely phenomenal. I really like what they've done with the characters. We've seen stories with different mother sort of characters be told in the past, and this kind of avoids the cliches of those sorts of stories. These aren't four women that are like, they look after their child all day, or they, you know, send their child to school and then wait for the husband to kind of come home and stuff or whatever. This very much kind of delves into, okay, what do these women want to do with their careers? And there's lots of different sort of choices that these characters have to make, and things about actual parenthood. And some of the mums don't want to be with their partners necessarily, so they have those things to consider. And it just all melds together really, really well. It's structured really well, paced really well. acted really well. Some really good heartfelt moments in the show. There's some great comedy in the show as well, mainly from the main character. I think her name is called Kate. I'm on the at the back half of season two, so I'm on about episode 10 of season two, and there's 13 in each season apart from season four that's got 8. I would recommend the show. It's brilliant, and as somebody who's, you know, a young 26 year old guy, it gives me a good kind of perspective of, I don't know, just, you know, the other side, the, you know, sort of female life and that sort of thing. Because it's, I mean, I could look at the show and say, like, you probably will connect with it better and you will connect with it more if you're either a female or a mother or, you know, wife or whatever the case may be, because that obviously connects more to the characters. But as somebody who doesn't have any of those things, it's still something that very much, I don't know, it still connects with me in really good ways and everything like that. And it's just brilliant as well. And it's 20 minutes, it's quick. I can't remember any particular episodes that have sort of wasted time or sort of felt like filler. Because one of the reasons it does that as well, these characters are always doing something. There's always something going on with the characters. And even those situations with the characters, none of it ever feels like, oh, we'll just give this character this thing to do for the sake of it. It always feels important, or at least, you know, valuable in some sort of way. So I've really, really enjoyed that as well. It was recommended a long time ago on Collider TV Talk, when that was a thing. But they recommended it a few years ago on their TV Talk podcast. And I managed to get around to it and have thoroughly enjoyed it. Have you heard of this show at all? It's not one that really gets talked about.
No, it's not one I'd heard. Yeah, it's a Canadian series. It's been going for 4 seasons. It's actually been renewed for a 5th as well. So it's been around for quite a while. 2017 when it first launched. So it's not one that I come across, but some of those Canadian sitcoms can be quite good fun. So given it's only fairly short, it might be a good one for me to kind of stick on when I'm eating. Maybe, or, you know, maybe.
yeah because it's 4 seasons, that I think 13 episodes for the 3 seasons, and then the 4th season's got 8, and the episodes are about like 23 minutes or so it's very easily digestible as well, so that's good. And then the last thing, got a new VR game, The Walking Dead Onslaught VR. Now I don't know if this is made from the same developer that did Saints and Sinners, but it very much takes the same gameplay format with a few different bits and pieces here, but almost, you know, the same exact controls, pretty much the same shooting and that sort of thing. This essentially takes that format and puts 4 of the TV versions of the characters, Rick, Michonne, Daryl and Carol, probably the 4 most popular, I think you could argue as well.
Yeah.
Eugene is also in the game, but he's basically the van driver that you use for when you do like scavenger missions and that sort of thing. You hear his voiceover quite a lot. He still speaks in his like Shakespearean weird sort of way. The format of the game is a little bit strange. Essentially what it is, you walk around a limited part of Alexandria. You see Michonne sort of got this clipboard where she's sorting out the planning. Carol is by a flower bed. Of course, you shouldn't look at those flowers if she's next to them.
Yes.
You'll understand that reference if you've seen the show. Daryl is injured with his leg.
Right.
So you're in that main part of Alexandria. You can walk around and you can, well, not really talk to the characters, but they sometimes say things when you go past them, or Michonne gives you an update of like, okay, you can go and do this or that or whatever. Part of the start of the story is Daryl injured his foot, so you can't play as him. You walk around in Alexandria as Rick. In order for you to access the next story missions, which tells more of this 2-day story of how Daryl got lost, sort of, you have to do these scavenger missions. And basically what you do, you walk over to Michonne, you're playing as Rick, and then you select your loadout. There is also a shooting gallery thing, so you can practice different weapons and stuff. You use the move controllers to control those. You look at the map, you set out where you want to go, the difficulty level, you make sure you got the loadout that you want, you know, whatever weapons. Then the van opens up, Eugene speaks to you, you go over to there, and then this board thing comes up and it says Rick, Michonne or Carol, at least at the moment. You pick one of them. All that basically does is give you a different voiced character, basically.
Right.
And then you do that, and it's sort of this like run and grab type of thing where you spawn into a level, there's a horde coming up behind you, and it's got sort of this red barrier. You can't actually fight the horde. If you get lost in it, your health starts slowly going down. And what you have to basically do is run forward, and I mean run forward because you will run out of time, go through the different little buildings in this sort of corridor-esque layout, grab whatever supplies you can get, and based on what you grab in the level decides how many people join Alexandria. And these are all just red shirt like characters. That then puts the survivor count up, and you have to get a certain amount of survivors to join Alexandria in order to unlock the next story mission, which doesn't really make a lot of sense because I don't know why you'd need that in order for Daryl to tell you more of the story. The gameplay is still good. It's still pretty much the same as the Saints and Sinners game. It's a good game and all that, but it just doesn't really make a lot of sense that Daryl's sitting by this fire. He's waiting to tell you the next part of the story, but in order for him to do that, you have to recruit more people. That doesn't really quite make a whole lot of sense. Still a good game. Still looking forward to where they actually go with the story and everything. And it's quite interesting to walk a little bit around Alexandria and see the main characters, because in the other game called Saints and Sinners, you just walked around as this sort of no-named character, and there was like no Walking Dead characters and stuff. So it's still quite good. It's just a bit weird how it's structured.
I've just pulled up the Steam page, and it's getting absolutely slated for being overly repetitive, I think, is the main criticisms of it. But it's by Serveross, who were the people behind the Raw Data game, which was one of the big VR releases, which I have actually played some of anyway. And they did a reasonable job of that. They've kind of done a few different VR games, actually, but Raw Data is probably the biggest one out of the list. They've done a Westworld game as well, apparently, called Westworld Awakening. I don't know whether that's only a PC one, though, because I'm just looking through the Steam list. But
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it may be that it's available on console as well, but I'm not sure.
But yeah, apart from the weird structure, it's really good. I think eventually you do unlock like each character's signature weapon.
Right.
So the only points in the game at the moment, at least, where you play as Daryl is when you start a conversation with him as Rick, and then you go into like a flashback sequence, and then you're playing as Daryl. So that's pretty much that. But that's basically what I've been up to. How about yourself?
I've been playing mainly Planet Zoo up until a few weeks ago, and then Subnautica, which is a game which I absolutely adore. The follow-on game from the original Subnautica was called Subnautica Below Zero, and it's gone through some interesting changes, that game, because when they originally started developing Below Zero, it had a entirely different writer, who was the same writer on the first game. About midway through the development of the second game, the writer decided that he wanted to move on to other things, so he left and they brought somebody new in. And when they brought this new person in, it completely altered the story. It's in early access, it's not been released yet, so it's been quite interesting watching the game develop through early access. They're one of the best companies in terms of keeping the updates fairly regular, keeping in contact with fans. You can go and see things that they're fixing on a daily basis. So when it came out that they were completely altering the story, I mean, there are elements from the original story that are still there, but then they altered how it started. They altered what happens with the main character.
So is this like a Joss Whedon takes over Justice League situation?
Yes, I suppose it could be, although it's been rather more successful than that.
Right.
I really like what they've done with the new story. It actually feels a bit more like the original Subnautica game with how they've kind of tweaked it, actually. The basic setup, if you don't know Subnautica at all, it's a survival game. It's an open world survival kind of crafting game. In this particular case, you are heading to a planet where your sister has disappeared. You are trying to find out what's happened to her. The planet, she was a scientist, and she was investigating these alien monolith things that are on the planet. And at some point, she appears to have vanished. She's not entirely sure what happened. So she's going to try and kind of investigate that. As she's flying down to the planet, a meteor storm hits, blows up her ship, and she ends up crashing down onto the planet. And there is a sort of survival pod that you start off in, and you have to go and get stuff from around the floor of the ocean in the planet that you land in. And also there are more land areas in this game, which they're very limited land areas in the first game. There's more land in this, so you pick up resources, but like sort of rocks and plants and stuff, and you can use a fabricator to turn those into things that you can use. And you can end up building a sort of submarine type thing, which is the submarine in this game is modular. So you start off with the cab section. It's called the sea truck, and it is basically a cab with storage section that you can then build. And then there's a fabricator section, so you can have a fabricator that travels around with you. And there's other bits like an aquarium section that you can add on that you can store food in. So it's kind of this modular thing that you can build. So that's quite an interesting setup they've got for that. And the story's just really great. It's basically, I'm trying not to give too much away. You discover this alien entity when you're down there, and you end up having this conversation with him, and that sort of guides where you go for the rest of the story, along with trying to find out exactly what happened to your sister. The reason I went back into this is because they released an update called Relics of the Past, which is, as it's the latest update, it is the most complete version of the game. But by most complete, I mean that they've now fully voiced everything. They've done a bunch more graphics tweaks. It's not like complete at this point, but it is the most complete version of the game in early access as they've released so far. And it looks stunning. It's really good fun to play through. If you like these open world survival games, Below Zero, I mean, the original Subnautica was spectacular, and Below Zero, I think, is well worth playing, and very much up to the same level as the first game was. I'm thoroughly enjoying that. The only problem with playing games that are this complete in early access is when they release the final version, you've kind of finished it already. So,
yeah.
I think the original Subnautica is out on console.
I've seen it listed for like PlayStation 4 and that. So, I don't know about Switch and Xbox, but PlayStation it is. So,
yeah, certainly worth going and picking up the original Subnautica. If you like those sort of big open world survival games, it's one of the best there is. The other big gaming news this week was the announcement of Mass Effect Legacy Edition, which is the remastered version of the Mass Effect trilogy. It includes all the original DLC, plus all the promo weapons, all the armors. It's got updated graphics into Ultra HD. They've modernized the technical features, whatever that means, to modernize the experience. Also in the press release, they casually dropped out that they are developing another Mass Effect game, which, I mean, there had been rumors about, but they actually confirmed it. And it's being developed by a veteran team of Mass Effect people as well. So not the people that did Mass Effect Andromeda, which is a much maligned game. And I really liked Mass Effect Andromeda. I really enjoyed that game. But apparently they're in development.
I remember with me, you and Robert, you really liked it. I was kind of like, okay, this is pretty good. And then Robert didn't really like it too much. But all three of us were on different sort of scales of it, which was interesting. Yeah, this has been a long, long time coming. I mean, this has been rumored for a long time. I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago on the gaming podcast that we do, Robert talked about there was like a listing for Mass Effect Remaster Trilogy and all that sort of thing. I think it was the next logical step for Mass Effect as well, because I really doubted you were ever going to get an Andromeda 2 based on how badly that game performed. And, you know, I've often said a lot of times, remastering old games is a good way to sort of test the waters for, is the old audience going to come back? Are we going to get a new audience in? And then based off of the success of a remaster like that, you can then get a better gauge of where you can go in the future. So this is a really good sort of step and a good decision from EA for a change. So it'll be good to see how this does. I think this will do quite well, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with this next game.
Yeah, so, there's so much love for that original trilogy of games, and they were superb. They were really, really good. I'm very interested to see how they've altered things like the loading screens, and because some of them had this kind of elevator loading things, which were quite nice because you had these little bits of conversation. I wonder if they've enhanced more of that, or whether they, how they've altered some of that stuff, because they very much improved over each game as well in terms of the control system. And I wonder whether that's going to be standardized across everything. So they've not really released details of exactly how they've changed the way things work. So I'm sort of interested to see what they do with it and how drastically they've actually altered some of those features. But it's certainly something. I mean, it's one of the few games that I will sit and play through again when the remaster comes out. Because I still remember the originals, but I love those games so much. And I definitely something I will go back to.
Yeah, good for nostalgia and good to get new people in as well that didn't play the originals for whatever particular reason.
Well, so, I mean, they've not really been, I mean, they've been available on PC, obviously, but certainly they're not available, some of the original Mass Effect games, on some of the newer consoles, or, you know, certainly they may not have worked on things like PlayStation 5. They did also also say they will be compatible with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox, whatever it is.
Series X.
It gets very confused with the Xbox stuff at this point.
There is too many different versions. Yes. I wonder what they're going to do with the first game particularly, because the first game's almost like a different beast.
Yeah.
Where I remember trying to play the first game and story was fine and all that, but the gameplay, it was pretty much nearly unplayable. It was just very, very, very clunky, but I would imagine, you know, that's what a remaster is supposed to be for anyway, to improve all that.
Yeah. So we'll I'm quite interested to see if it standardizes everything. I'm assuming they will, and what they actually settle on going from game to game, because they are releasing it as Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So they are releasing it sort of almost as one thing. So it would be odd to have the game mechanics switch drastically from one game to the next. But we'll see. Like I say, they've not said exactly what they've done in terms of the technical features. They've just called them technical features. So we'll see. But certainly I'm very, very much looking forward to that. I think that's brilliant. Other than that, no new TV shows for me. Still carrying on with The Mandalorian, which I'm enjoying. That's being solid every week. And Star
fantastic.
Trek. Yeah, just fantastic every week. And Star Trek Discovery as well, which I'm also really enjoying at the moment.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Both of them quite a lot. So I do have the Discovering Star Trek podcast and that.
Nice to have some decent, good sci-fi back on. It all seems to cover at once, because as I say, we've got The Expanse coming next month.
Yeah, because we're going to have probably Expanse, Mandalorian and Star Trek all on at once.
Yeah.
So,
which is great. I'm so up for that.
Yeah.
It's just a shame they're kind of all at the same time.
Mandalorian and Star Trek on the same day. So
yeah, certainly for us anyway. Good TV at the moment. Definitely worth watching. That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
We start off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. One big cancellation this week, which was Castle Rock, the Stephen King anthology type thingy that Hulu were making. They've cancelled that after two seasons. He read on Stars Play UK over here. I haven't actually watched any of this. I'm not a huge horror person. I don't know whether you actually got around to it. I don't know whether you've got access to Stars Play.
I watched about the first episode and a half and I just couldn't really get into it. Now, I know that the second season's different, so obviously if I want to sort of continue it but get a different story, I can just jump to season two because it's an anthology thing. But that's a very small portion of the show that I watched, just didn't really quite grab me particularly. I wasn't really surprised this got cancelled. I don't really see that many people talking about it necessarily. It's good in a way that it was, you know, an anthology, because even though now that it's been cancelled, you can still go and watch two different sort of stories and that.
Yeah.
So at some point I'll maybe have a look at season two and everything. I think season two is a bit more sort of slasher related, just based off the poster and that, but not too bad at the end of the day, I suppose.
It's a shame, and I imagine it was fairly expensive to produce, and you'd expect a much bigger audience for it maybe than what they got, given that it's Stephen King. Unfortunate, but that's the way it is. But at least you've got two seasons of it out there. In terms of renewals, Netflix have renewed the Young Wallander series for a second season. I got about halfway through the first season of this and then sort of forgot about it and haven't been back. It wasn't bad at all. It's just, it's not totally my sort of thing. I enjoyed it enough, but then there's a lot of other things to watch as well, and it wasn't wasn't something that kind of completely gripped me. It has a feel of that sort of ITV crime drama about it,
okay.
which is not necessarily a bad thing at all. You know, I mean, they're hugely popular, a lot of those things, but it feels very much in that sort of mold. And they're not really things that I watch that much. I don't do, you know, the only procedurals I do tend to be very few, and they tend to be the larger American ones like 911 or The Good Doctor or, you know,
the ABC stuff.
But it's fine, and I'm glad it's coming back. You know, it's an interesting idea, sort of taking this older character as a younger one. There is the issue with the accents, in that it's all set in Sweden and you've got a lead actor who is Swedish and speaks with a Swedish accent, but literally everybody else in the show speaks with an English accent, which is a little weird because it's all set in Sweden and he's supposed to be the Swedish police force. So that seems a little bit odd, but you kind of just got to get over that and just kind of carry on with it. It's enjoyable. If you like those sort of British type crime dramas, even though technically this isn't a British crime drama, but if you like those sort of crime dramas, certainly one that's worth watching, I think. In terms of pickups and advanced air dates, and we also have some coronavirus updates as well. It was announced this week that The Witcher has shut down filming for a second time. They were filming out in Yorkshire until lockdown 2 happened. They were then moving the filming to a studio in London to do some of the studio stuff. They've unfortunately had another COVID outbreak. This is the second time they've had to shut down because of the COVID outbreak. I'm never going to pronounce his name, but it's Christoph Hjv, the guy from Game of Thrones, big guy with the ginger beard, who's joined The Witcher season two.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
He got COVID and they had to shut everything down. That was sort of back in April, I think it was. They shut everything down last time because of that. They've now had to shut down again because they've had another COVID outbreak on set. None of the main cast are affected this time around. It's some of the production people apparently that have caught COVID, so they've had to shut down. They will get back up and running again. This is sort of par for the course when it comes to the producing shows at the moment. Somebody gets infected, they have to shut everything down to make sure that everybody's okay, even if it's only for a couple of weeks while people isolate, and then they come back again. Just the nature of what it is at the moment. But they are still moving forward. As I say, they didn't let the lockdown stop them. They moved from Yorkshire where they were filming and just went to the studio and were filming stuff there instead. It'll get back on track. It's just, you know, taking a little bit longer than maybe it would normally. In terms of other shows shooting in the UK, Strictly Come Dancing, Graham Norton, How I Got Your News For You, all those big live audience shows are going to be continuing filming. I mean, if you've been watching Graham Norton this week, they continued filming. They've got no studio audience in the studio, but they have got a live virtual audience that are doing it watching via Zoom. And that seemed to work perfectly well, actually. You got the laughing and stuff. You got people reacting to jokes. And obviously, they've got crew in the studio that are laughing along with things as well. It seems to be working okay. But yeah, Have I Got News For You, Strictly, Graham Norton, Last Leg, which is back. It's been filming without studio audience. So now we're back in lockdown. Those shows are still continuing, but just won't have live audiences. But they are finding it, you know, virtual audience ways around it as well, which is good. And the other bit of news was that Gentleman Jack, the hugely popular drama, is back for a second season. That first season went out in May 2019. They've just started filming the second season of that. So that will be out in 2021. It was supposed to film earlier in the year, but obviously with everything that happened, they had to delay it. So that is now back to filming. It will be coming out in 2021. So it has been a little bit delayed, but that is returning. And I know that was hugely popular. Over on the US TV, they've been a few announcements of what you're likely to see when the shows come back. And I thought it might be interesting just to look at where shows are sitting dealing with the pandemic. So for example, NCIS New Orleans is apparently dealing directly with the pandemic. NCIS LA, which just returned last night in the US, that is apparently set in a post-COVID world. So they make that. Yeah. they are talking about a vaccine today, so you know, that's good news. But they are setting it in a world that's sort of got past the pandemic. The pandemic does exist in that world, but and there are references to it, but they are in a world that has sort of got over it. So that's how they're playing it. NCIS, the main show, season 18, apparently is set in sort of a pre-COVID world, because they're starting that off with a backwards in time jump that sets the first first few episodes during a gap in time from the middle of the last season, for whatever reason that is. I'm sure there's some reason for that that an NCIS fan will know. I don't, because I don't watch the show, but that's how the NCIS people are handling it. The Good Doctor is starting off with the pandemic for the first couple of episodes, but then we'll move past it for the rest of the season. So they're sort of a mixture of the two options. They're starting off addressing it head on, but then presumably there will be a cure that happens and then they'll move, jump forward a few months. Connors and Superstore, those are both dealing head on with the pandemic, so people in masks and that sort of stuff on the show. This is us also dealing, if you've seen the new season, which is currently airing on Amazon in the UK, that is dealing directly with the pandemic in the new season. It also deals with Black Lives Matter as well, so they're staying very much topical as well. Interesting to see. I know you're a fan of Superstore. I know that's not been announced back here yet, but it is airing in the US. They've just aired in America for air.
It's like middle of next year or something.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Yeah, because they just finished basically dumping out the episodes pretty much daily for the previous season. Yeah, I've seen some because I follow the show on Facebook, and I think I follow it on Twitter as well. They've basically showed some of the characters have got masks on and stuff, and they've just had Amy's exit episode as well.
Yes.
So we'll see when ITV brings that back and what that's going to be like. I wonder how that's going to affect the main character, or arguably the main character, Jonah, who's, you know, I think married to her, and what they do with that as well. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens when it comes back.
Yeah.
When ITV wants to do that.
Yes. So. Eventually wants to air that. One of the other things, of course, to do with the pandemic, that they were talking, it was one of the websites talking to the showrunner of SEAL Team, who is a man named Spencer Hudnut, which is a great last name. We've mentioned this a little bit before, but that actually shoots in Los Angeles. I mean, it shoots around the world, but obviously they're doing a lot less of that right now. But its main sort of base is Los Angeles. He did make the comment that you can't just have people jump on a plane from New York on a Tuesday and show up on set in Los Angeles on a Wednesday anymore. So the lack of guest stars, certainly out of state guest stars, he says, has impacted bits of the story they're telling and how they go about telling them as well. So it has had some effect on what they're doing with the stories, because in some cases, if you need a guest star, like if you're shooting in Vancouver, if you're a Vancouver actor, you've got a far better chance, and you know, you're already there, you've got a far better chance of getting a guest spot on a TV show that's shooting in Vancouver. And it's the same in LA. If you're in LA, you have a better chance of getting a guest spot. The only problem is if it's a character that had previously appeared as a guest role and they wanted to bring them back for something, but you're shooting in LA and they're based in New York usually, it's very difficult for that person just to fly in for a couple of days shooting and then fly out again. There are going to be changes in that, how they handle that, I guess, moving forward. So, you know, it is having an effect on some of the storylines, which is entirely understandable. In terms of shows that have been picked up, we have a few new air dates as well. Birds of a Feather, the classic sitcom, is coming back for a Christmas special this year, minus Pauline Quirk, who apparently stepped back from her acting. She has over 200 nationwide performing arts academies. She actually runs a whole load of these performing arts schools, and she apparently has decided that she's stepping back from acting and is going to focus on running those. So she's not coming back, which is one of the sort of main three characters out of that show. But they are still bringing it back for a Christmas special, but she won't be in it. So if you're a fan of that sitcom, that is returning. Outmatched, which is the Jason Biggs and Maggie Lawson sitcom, which was cancelled after one season, is going to be airing on Fox UK. I think it was an ABC show in the US. It is a Disney-owned series. It's basically, Fox UK basically have a big box of cancelled TV shows from Disney, which is why you've been seeing things like Unmatched coming up, and Minority Report, and Perfect Harmony. All of these are things that they had some access to in, because they were made by Disney or ABC. They're just running them out to fill up scheduling space, which is fine as long as you know going into it that they're one season things. And in this particular case, it's a sitcom, so it's unlikely it's going to end on some huge cliffhanger. So I think it's fine when you're doing it with this. It's a little trickier when you're doing it something like Minority Report, which is a drama. Mm. But, you know, with this, I think that's okay. Alibi, I've also picked up a one-season show called Briar Patch, which I have seen a few episodes of because I caught a few episodes when I was in America last February. I really enjoyed this. It stars Rosario Dawson. It's Sam Ishmael, the EP from Mr. Robot, is involved, and Andy Greenwald, who was one of the writers on Legion. So that gives you an idea of just how strange this possibly is.
Yeah, that's quite a combination.
Yeah. It's a stylish crime drama that updates the pulp fiction genre for a new era and follows the determined and no-nonsense detective Allegra Dill, who returns to her quirky hometown after her sister is murdered. However, there is more than just a murder to deal with in this Texas border town of San Bonifacio, as a search for a killer soon turns into an all-consuming fight to bring her corrupt hometown to its knees. As I just mentioned with cancelled drama, it's sometimes a problem if, you know, they pick up and run one season of a show. In this particular case, it's quite a good one to pick up because it was going to be an anthology series. They actually cancelled it after one season, but that one season is a self-contained story. So essentially, it's a limited series. So it is one self-contained story. I really enjoyed the first couple of episodes of it. It's weird and off the wall. It's got some wonderfully quirky bits in it. Rosario Dawson's great. And I would definitely urge you to go and watch this. It's called Briar Patch. Don't know exactly when that's going to air. They've said it'll air in 2021, but it is certainly one that I would look at because though it is a cancelled one season show, it's essentially a limited series because it was picked up as an anthology. So other shows that we've got advanced air dates for Life, which is the Nicholas Pinnock drama, which sees him, he's a prisoner who becomes a lawyer litigating cases for other inmates while fighting to overturn his own life sentence for a crime he didn't commit. For Life arriving on the 20th of November at 9 p.m. on Sky Witness. I'm very much looking forward to that. I really like Nicholas Pinnock. He was in Counterpart and Marcella. Definitely worth watching, I think, that one. Charmed finally has a premiere date on E4. The Drunken Darts game did actually land the dart on E4 this time rather than randomly for music. Unfortunately, it landed the time at 5 p.m. Bear in mind, the season one DVD when that was released was a 15. So it's going to be cut to ribbons airing at 5 p.m. There's no other way that they can do it unless CW for some reason put less over PG rated stuff in the second season, but I very much doubt that. I rather suspect they're going to be cutting large chunks out of it, which is really unfortunate. Why they decided to air this at 5 p.m. I have no idea, other than, you know, drunk scheduling, as we usually suspect. But
why would you air that? Because I know that they, E4's got like their comedy afternoons and that, when they've got all their American sitcoms that they import, like Big Bang and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and all those. So yeah, you're kind of putting that at the bookend of those, which is strange. I don't know, it's very weird.
It's more weird scheduling for E4. But yeah, 5 p.m. it's actually airing daily from the 23rd of November, so they're going to burn through it fairly quickly. It's an odd one.
Is that so that they can maybe get the third season a bit quicker? I don't know.
Maybe, but I very much doubt it.
Sort of dumping it out.
I think they're probably just dumping it out. It's an odd time to do it. Maybe one of those cases that they put the unedited versions up on all four, possibly, but I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you that for sure. It might be worth checking the on-demand stuff to see whether there is a difference between the one that goes out live and the one that goes out on demand, because sometimes they've done that in the past.
Got a date nonetheless.
So it's got a date. You'll be able to see it even if it is in a butchered format. And the other thing that announced this week, which looked gloriously wonderful and very, very silly, Lego Star Wars Holiday Special is launching on the 17th of November on Disney+. This involves some sort of convoluted story of Rey getting sent back in time and going to pivotal moments of the rest of the Star Wars franchise. So it's got Lego versions of all the different characters from sort of Luke and Han Solo and all those in their sort of original trilogy versions. Right. fighting Rey, along with the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda and a whole bunch of other things. It looked very, very funny. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I forgot to actually watch the trailer for this, but I'm looking forward to when that comes out. Just from the screenshots and stuff that I saw, it looks like good fun. And it will be cool to see Baby Yoda in Lego form.
Yes, so, yes. I am looking forward to that. A little bit of casting news as well that dropped out. William Jackson Harper, who played Chidi in The Good Place, is going to be the new lead of season two of Love Life. Love Life is the show that's running on the BBC Three, isn't it, that they're running at the moment. That's running over here, which stars Anna Kendrick. It always was going to be an anthology series, so it's going to have a different lead. So William Jackson Harper from The Good Place is going to be the lead for the second season. Interestingly, although it's an anthology series, Anna Kendrick is actually staying on as EP, and her character will pop up in the second season as well. She just won't be the lead, which is an interesting way of doing it, I thought.
Yeah, I haven't managed to go and watch this, actually, because, you know, there's thousands of TV shows.
Yes.
And that's almost not an exaggeration, but I need to go and actually watch that. I do like Anna Kendrick, like I said before. William Jackson Harper, very, very good choice for a sort of replacement. Great in The Good Place. He was, even though I didn't like that film called Midsommar, he was very good in that as well. And he's been in some other stuff that's been quite good as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table.
He would make quite a good romantic lead, I think, in which is what that's for.
He's very much on The Good Place.
So. Yeah. So I think he's a really interesting choice for that. And I haven't been and watched it either yet. It is one that I do want to go and watch. I know Gray watched it and really enjoyed it. So it is one that I'm going to be going to watch.
Cool.
That is one to look out for, though. I will go and watch the first season of that. On to other news stories. Sky have announced an animated film adaptation of Terry Pratchett's The Amazing Maurice coming in 2022, which seems like a just way, way off, although it's not actually as far off as you think these days. The Amazing Maurice follows Maurice, a streetwise ginger cat who has the perfect money-making scam. He finds a kid who plays a pipe, and he also befriends his very own horde of strangely educated talking rats, so Maurice can no longer think of them as lunch. When Maurice and his rodents reach the stricken town of Bad Blitz, they meet a bookworm Melicia. Their little con soon goes down the drain when something very bad is waiting for them in the cellars. So they don't give a huge amount away of the story there, but it's an animated thing. It's talking cat and his sort of army of rats. Hugh Laurie is providing the voice of Maurice. Emilia Clarke is providing the voice of Melicia. The other cast is David Thewlis, Himesh Patel, who was in that movie Yesterday. Gemma Arterton is in it. Hugh Bonneville as well. Then there's more cast to follow. So, I mean, Sky have done a reasonable job with Terry Pratchett stuff before. I think this is the first time they've done an animated thing. They've done a couple of live action things. But, I'm glad that some more of this Terry Pratchett stuff is getting made. That's a great cast as well, I think.
It is. Yeah, you got some Game of Thrones people in there. Hugh Laurie, who's great. Some people from Wonder Woman and that. And some other people that I recognize as well. Yeah, the animated path for this could be kind of interesting. Like you said, they don't give too much away about the story there, but it sounds fairly interesting. It might be some good fun. So we'll see that in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, yeah. So. And it will be coming to Sky Cinema, they've said, in 2022, that animated movie. And, it's a good family thing, I think. One that I think might be more up your street, Amazon have ordered a supernatural thriller series called The Rig for Prime Video. The Rig follows the crew of a oil rig stationed off the Scottish coast in the dangerous waters of the North Sea. When the crew are due to return to the mainland, a mysterious and all-enveloping fog rolls through and they find themselves cut off from all communication with the shore and the outside world. As they endeavour to discover what's driving this force, bonds are broken, allegiances are formed, and generational fault lines exposed. The crew of the oil rig will be driven to the limits of both their loyalties and endurance in a confrontation with forces beyond their imagination. That's the setup for it. I mean, I don't massively do horror, but this is more your ballpark. What do you think?
Part of this sounds like part of Man of Maiden. I'm not sure if you played that game from last year. Part of the Dark Anthologies game series. They just had the second one come out, actually called, I think it's called Little Hope or New Hope or something. I don't mind supernatural horror storytelling sometimes. There's a fine line between, I don't know, it's good to sort of have those elements in there, but sometimes when you're blurring the lines a bit between like what's real and what's not and sort of messing about with the story, that's sometimes when things can not sort of work particularly well. But sometimes it works really well. Like if you're confusing a character by having something supernatural or weird on the screen, that can be quite good. So there's instances where it can work pretty well. It just depends what they decide to do here. But it sounds pretty interesting.
Kind of intriguing by some people behind it. The director is John Strickland, who worked on things like Line of Duty and Bodyguard. The writers are relative newcomers. David McPherson, who this is actually his first scripted commission. He has written a novel called Here Be Dragons. Also writing an episode is Med Salter, who is probably best known as part of the comedy trio Muriel Comedy. And Matthew Jacob Morgan, who is an actor and writer. He actually wrote an episode of Hollyoaks, I noticed on his IMDb page. He's done a few other little independent things as well. So, you know, they are people that have some experience with writing scripts and stuff. It's interesting, though, because David McPherson's novel, Here Be Dragons, seems like a sort of comedy fantasy thing. And, you know, Meg Salter is mainly known for writing comedy stuff. Sort of interesting that they've gone for this big kind of horror thing. But, you know, just because they're relatively new writers, it doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing this thing. So, I mean, and he's a great director as well. So,
well, one big kind of worry when you go to supernatural storytelling is, fair enough if you want some mystery in there, but at certain points in your story you do have to sort of cleanly explain kind of what's going on. A good example is, I remember the previous season of American Horror Story had a bit of mystery as to what was going on for a few episodes, and then they slowly sort of explained things and it didn't sort of muddy the waters of what was going on. It was a bit weird, it was a bit mysterious, and then they slowly explained what was going on and sort of explained the rules. That's quite a good example of both of slasher storytelling and of supernatural storytelling as well, because it sort of molded those two things together and told the story quite well.
An oil rig is an interesting place to set this sort of thing as well, because it's nicely kind of claustrophobic and it is somewhere where there is literally no way of getting off. so, you know, I kind of intrigued by that. I think it could be quite interesting, but don't know when that is going to land. Presumably they're aiming for either next year or the year after, but it's going to be filmed in Scotland. And either, I think some of it they are actually filming on a rig and some of it is filmed in studios in Scotland. It's done in conjunction with Screen Scotland. So, they're making the case for Scotland to be the home for this production, which I think definitely should be. So that's called The Rig, coming to Amazon Video. And lastly, Hilary Burton is cast as Lucille on The Walking Dead. So we knew that we were getting these six extra episodes of season 10, which we think are probably going to be February-ish, possibly, if they manage to get them filmed all in time. We reckon they're going to be kind of early-ish. And one of those episodes looks like it's going to be exploring some of Negan's backstory as they cast Hilary Burton, who is actually Hilary Burton Morgan. She is real life wife of Jeffrey Dean Morgan and has landed the guest starring role as Lucille in the series. If you are thinking, wait, she doesn't look much like a baseball bat, the Lucille baseball bat was named after Negan's real life wife who died from pancreatic cancer. It's obviously going to be some form of flashback. Sure. This, we don't know an awful lot about that character particularly. It has been covered a little bit more in the comic books. Here's Negan, which was a comic book run which they did, which sort of did a bit more of how Negan became, well, Negan, and sort of went, because he was a gym teacher, wasn't he, or something, I think, originally, and
I think so,
something like that, and sort of how he went from being that and the start of the pandemic and Lucille dying and how he ended up going to be the guy he was. We do know from the TV show, because of what Negan said, that she did die of pancreatic cancer somewhere at the beginning of the outbreak, and Negan didn't actually put her down. He couldn't bring himself to do it because obviously she died, the outbreak had happened and she turned. So we don't know much more about the character other than that in terms of the TV universe. If you're wondering about Hilary Burton herself, she's probably best known for playing a character called Peyton Sawyer on One Tree Hill, which is currently up on All Four, actually. They've added all the seasons of that up on All Four. She also played Sarah Ellis in the TV show White Collar as well. She's popped up in things like Grey's Anatomy, Lethal Weapon, Counselor Dads. She's recently been co-hosting Friday Night with the Morgans on AMC with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So they've had this like lockdown show that the pair of them were doing together, which fortunately never aired over here, which was a great show because I would have really enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, the Here's Negan book is one that I haven't read. I still haven't read the ending of the main book series, but I will try to do that at some point soon. I don't think you could have a better casting choice because both on and off screen, they're husband and wife. So it's the perfect mix of chemistry there. I mean, what better partner to have on screen than your actual real life one? Looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I remember it's either come up in feedback or we've discussed it in the past on the Walking Dead podcast about what we want to see in the future. And I've often, and you've often said about this, here's a Negan backstory sort of thing. Fits perfectly well as well with these like six bonus episodes that they're going to do with certain different stories. I think it's, you know, ripe for being told in that sort of story. This is a perfect fit all around. Of course, Jeffrey's going to be Negan again, but in a flashback sort of sense. And we'll finally get to see what happened with that as well. So I don't know how closely it will follow the book. Like I said, I haven't read that particular version of the story or that particular part of the story, but seems like a perfect fit all around and a good choice for one of the six episodes.
It's interesting that they've gone to use it in one of these six episodes as opposed to saving it for the Tales of the Walking Dead series, which is this episodic anthology, which is going to be following individual episodes or arcs of episodes which focus on either new or existing characters and little stories within the Walking Dead universe, which is one of the other shows which is in development right now. It's interesting that they've decided to use it as part of the main show rather than saving it for that.
Do you think they did that because he's on the main show and they wanted to sort of...
Yeah, I suspect it's one of those things that they're probably just looking to fill out those episodes and he's already under contract for it and it would probably cost them more to get him back to come to do an episode of Tales of the Walking Dead. So it sort of makes sense that maybe you should do a bit of backstory. It's not like they haven't done backstory for characters before on this show either, you know. Yeah, so
they've done whole episodes of them.
Exactly. So which we've heavily criticized on some cases. But in this particular case, I think it sort of makes sense because these were additional episodes. For those of you wondering about the episode count of Walking Dead, there's six additional episodes going on to season 10, which are planned to air in early 2021. We're assuming they can get it produced. It's basically the plan is to try and drop them into the slot where the second half of the next season will normally have landed, which is around February, if they can get them all produced by then. They announced last month that the 11th season will be the final season of the main show. However, the final season is 24 episodes spanning 2 years, so the last episodes will be airing late 2022. So we're getting episodes in early 2021, which will be the six episodes of season 10. Then towards the end of 2021, in the usual start date for the new season, you'll have the start of season 11. Then they will have February 2022, you'll have more episodes, and then you will have the final set of episodes at the end of 2022. And then that's going to be followed by this, we talked about before, this Daryl and Carol spin-off, which will be a new spin-off series, which will start in 2023. So lots and lots of Walking Dead. There's 30 episodes of the main show. So there's still lots and lots of Walking Dead. And as we said, there is this Tales of the Walking Dead spin-off series that they're also doing as well. And Fear is still running. So there's Walking Dead all over the place. We're not losing it anytime soon. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Now we move on to highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week, we have Duncanville Season 1 Part 2, which is back on Channel 4 on the 13th of November at 11:05. This is an animated comedy from Simpsons writer Mike and Julie Scully with Amy Poehler about a spectacularly average 15-year-old boy along with his friends and family. They aired the first half of this and then when the pandemic hit, like most of their programming, they basically dropped it and just stuck repeats on instead. So they're now bringing it back for the second half of that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7 7, the final season of that finally lands. It's coming to Disney Plus on the 13th of November. It's airing weekly for bizarre reasons, I think to stop people just buying it for a month and binging their way through the entire thing and turning it off again. So they are wearing it out weekly, which I do kind of understand because, you know, Disney wants to make money. But yeah, so season 7, the final season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., landing on Disney Plus on the 13th of November. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here returns for its 20th season on the 15th of November at 9 p.m. So you're back watching that. They've announced some of the people going into the, well, I was going to say going into the jungle, but it isn't. It's a dank castle in Wales because of the coronavirus this year. So there's people like Vernon Kay, I think, is going in. I noticed with one of the people, Shane Ritchie, I think, is going in this year. I think there are a number of people going in this year just so they get out of the house for a few weeks, you know, which I kind of get. So, so I mean, it'll be a little different this year, but if you're a fan of I'm a Celebrity, I'm sure that'll be an entertaining one to watch. The Crown season 4, that airs on the 15th of November as well, takes you from 1979 to 1990. They had a couple of the cast members on Graham Norton this week, and they did confirm that it would end in 1990. So that's basically the premiership of Margaret Thatcher, who is played by Gillian Anderson. They're definitely pushing this, if you've seen the trailer, they're pushing the relationship between Thatcher and the Queen, which, I mean, is obviously what the show has always been about, this relationship between those two houses. But there is, it's quite a monumental thing that this time around, by the looks of things. So I'm very much looking forward to that because Gillian Anderson is great, and it's really interesting to see her in that role. And The Outpost returns for its third season. That's on Sci-Fi UK. That's on the 17th of November at 9 p.m.
That CW show?
Yes, it's a CW show.
I thought it rang a bell.
So that's airing on Sci-Fi UK, 17th of November at 9 p.m. and that's back for its third season. And that's everything we have for this week. Matt, where can they find you if they want more of your stuff?
If you want my opinions on TV, video games, films, and the weird world at the moment of sports and Manchester United, you can follow all of that stuff on entertainmenttalk.org. There is a club football break at the moment. There's internationals, which I don't particularly care about. but that's happening for the next couple of weeks or for the next week or so. So you can find all that stuff over there. I am Twitch streaming as well at the moment. If you want to see how I would do with a Manchester United team through the Pro Evolution Soccer Master League, I'm also streaming the Walking Dead VR game, which unfortunately I can't use a camera for. The PS camera for, because it needs it for the VR thing, although I thought I could use it anyway, but apparently I can't. But that and some other games, Crash 4, and there's a lot of games coming out in the next couple of weeks actually because of all the next gen stuff as well. The Twitch channel is imatty94. I might change that at some point. It would make sense to change that to the eTalk thing.
Yes, it but, would
but yeah, at the moment you can go and follow it on there if you want that. But all the podcasts on entertainmenttalk.org.
go and find Matt over there. Bex, of course, you can find over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. And she's streaming daily and also on various evening streams. You can go and check out her Scream streams as well, which you want to see her get terrified by things like Alien Isolation and Dead Space and various other stuff as well, which is usually highly entertaining. For us, of course, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.